Just kidding. I told him. You should see. He got nervous. I told him I'd get the pulpit, so I can't help it. You know, some things I just can't help. But anyways, praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, stir yourself up. Even if you're in your jammies right now, stir yourself up. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I sent that slick text before service because I wanted people to know, do not blow this service off. Do not just say, well, this is just live stream, I'm going to do other things, or I'm just going to, you know, have on one channel my soap operas and on the other channel my live stream. No. This is opportunity for change, and the topic that we're going to talk about is something that God has had on my heart for, you know, ever since the beginning of the Miracle Crusades. And so we'll get into that in a second, but if you have your Bibles, you can open them to a very familiar passage around here, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, or page 899, for those that want to get there quicker. That's what my Bible says anyway. So 899, but anyways, Hosea 4:6. Father, help us this morning. Lord, we need words from heaven. We need utterance from heaven. Father, you use people, but we're not after what people have. We're after what you have. So we thank you the anointing will go forth this morning. We thank you for boldness. We thank you for utterance. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Father, I thank you that what I say will strike chords in every hearer's heart. And Father, I thank you it'll be change. It'll be opportunity for growth. It may be correction. If so, Father, we welcome it all. And Father, we thank you that we're headed in the right direction. Father, we thank you. We already have the victory in Jesus' name. We give you praise. We give you the glory. We thank you for everything said and done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, I'm going to just read the beginning, and it's quite telling. We've talked about this a lot. But it says here in Hosea 4 and verse 6, it says that my people are destroyed. That's a heavy, harsh word. For, and there's a lot of things that you could put in there that maybe people would think why the destruction comes. But the Bible tells us why. A lack of knowledge. Now, the verse that I like to pair with that goes with it in the New Testament, is found in John chapter 8 and verse 32. John chapter 8 and verse 32 is the one that I like to pair with that. John chapter 8 and verse 32. So Hosea the prophet said that God had told him to say that people are being destroyed because they don't know some things. Well, Jesus said this, and you shall know the truth. And look at the result. The truth will make you free. Well, we know that truth is good, but truth needs to be known, right? And when he's talking about truth, of course, he's talking about the knowledge and the Word of God and the truth of the Word in context here. But notice what he says. He says, the ability to know the right thing has the ability to cause you to be free. Yeah. Hallelujah. So whether or not you're free or not hinges on what you know and what you don't know. Well, there's lots of things that attempt to hold us in bondage. You know, you could be in spiritual darkness, and until you know, you're not free. Well, you can be in bondage in your body. You can be in bondage in your finances, in your family, in relationships, in your mind, and in your emotions. And freedom is dependent upon what you know. Jesus said you got to know some things, but if you would know it, freedom would be yours. So you could say it this way, if I'm not free in some areas, it just boils down to simply, I don't know enough. Because knowledge of the truth equals freedom. Now, I was in the Miracle Crusades, and Pastor Nancy Dufresne was talking about, and there was an emphasis in her services, about knowing who we are. About knowing our place in the body of Christ, about knowing where we stand, where we rule and reign from. And what was interesting is, the only way I can put it, is there was almost a grieving, not at her preaching. Her preaching that was wonderful, and it was life-changing, and I'm so glad for that week. But what was oppressed upon my spirit that grieved me was an overwhelming, a knowing of an overwhelming sense of the ignorance in the body of Christ. And how it's hurting people. Well, how's it hurting people? The Bible says they're being destroyed. How's it hurting people? Well, Jesus said people are being trapped in bondage. You don't, the Bible says that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. There's nothing in life more abundantly that includes sickness or depression or fear or worry or anxiety or you know, struggling financially or, you know, living tormented. There's nothing like that. And I got that overwhelming sense in my spirit about the overwhelming abundance of ignorance in the body of Christ. And I'm here to tell you, I can't mince words, even within our own churches, that there's people that they're at a certain place or they're experiencing certain things, and a lot of it just boils down to ignorance because they're living trapped. They're living bound, and Jesus told us it's because you don't know the truth. And what's interesting is these verses don't blame the devil for our bondage. Now, the devil will play on our ignorance and then bring his stuff to the equation. But if we know the truth, he can't touch us because truth equals freedom. Notice it doesn't say that your bondage has anything to do with your paycheck or how much money you have in the bank account or what your last name was or what side of the tracks you grew up on. Notice it doesn't tell you that it's based on your job. It doesn't tell you it's based on genetics. You know, this is always running my family. And so because cancer, because diabetes, because arthritis, I have to be bound. No. You're not free based on genetics. You're not free based on a job or a paycheck. Hallelujah. How much money you have, but rather what you don't know or what you know. You know, I don't say this as a general statement for all Christians that I grew up around. But I'm going to say many of the Christians that I grew up around were ignorant towards the things of God. Now, that's not saying they weren't saved. That's not saying they didn't go to heaven or are currently heaven bound, because I still know a lot of Christians that are close people that they're ignorant. And I watch that hurt their lives. I watch destruction come into them. I watch things take place that happen to them, and they have no answer for it. They have no solution. They chalk it up to life, that this is the cards that life dealt me, and I got to play the hand that life dealt me. Well, life deals you a hand. There's no doubt life will deal you a hand, but you don't have to play that hand. Hallelujah. God's given us things in the Word that turn our situations, that change what you'd call our destiny that life has dealt out to us. And so many people are being hurt. And that was that grieving that I got. It wasn't from a standpoint of people are dumb, because ignorance is not the same as stupidity. It's not the same. It's not saying that people are stupid or that people are worthless. Ignorance isn't the same as worthlessness. Ignorance is just being in a category of you just don't know some things. And that was the overwhelming sense that I got in my heart. I just sat there grieved, and I've not been able to go away. It's not been able to go away. And so today, if you're titling this message, and probably what it would be titled in live stream, is The Dangers of Not Knowing. Because we need to make sure that we are putting ourselves in a position of knowing. And that's really what Pastor Nancy was talking about with knowing our position, because if you don't know your position, you don't act from the rightful place of that position. And there's so many people, they don't know. Things come and they don't have the answer, they don't have the solution. They're ignorant to some things, and they're suffering and they're struggling in their lives. And I want to show you that this is nothing to mess around with, and give you some advice towards the end of the message of how we avoid this. But I'm telling you, we're going to miss out and what God has for us if we stay ignorant. I want to go to Luke 19 in verse 44, I want to show you a group of people that missed out. I mean, they so terribly missed out because of their ignorance. In Luke 19 and verse 44, and also the destruction that comes from this ignorance. Now, this is talking, actually, go back in your Bible to verse 41. When Jesus was come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. Talking about Jerusalem. He wept over the city. Look what the first thing he said was, if you had known. The first thing said is, whatever I'm about to say, all this is going to happen because you didn't know. He's saying this all hinges on knowing. He says, if you had known, even you, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they're hid from your eyes. He's saying, if you would have known what belongs to you, what's available to you. Isn't that what Pastor Nancy was telling us? There's a place in God that's available to the one that knows. There's promises from God available to the one that knows. And Jesus said, if you would have known. He says in verse 43, for the day shall come upon you that your enemies. What's he saying this is a result of? Because you didn't know. It's called not knowing and having destruction. It's called not knowing and being in bondage. He says, your enemies shall cast a trench about you, encompass or surround you, and keep you in on every side. This kind of sounds like not being free. Your enemies around you, you can't get out. That's bondage. But Jesus said, if you'd know the truth, you'd be free. And he started this out by saying, because you didn't know. Verse 44. And you shall lay even with you, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and your children within you. And they shall not leave you in one stone upon another. She's saying, destruction's coming. But look at this. Because your finances were off. Because you lived in the wrong part of the world. Because you got genetics that you just can't help. It's been passed on. No. Because you knewest not. What's he saying? You didn't know. You knewest not the time of your visitation. Now, what's he talking about? The visitation of him on the earth. Jesus, the kingdom of God, in their midst. And the Jews missed the whole thing. They had no idea the Messiah, the Son of God, the very promise of the prophets, had manifested before their eyes. And Jesus said, because you didn't know, instead of freedom, you're going to have bondage and destruction. Isn't that what Hosea 4:6 told us? Destruction? Didn't John 8:32 tell us that we would be bound or captive? Jesus said both of those things in these verses because they didn't know. Destruction and bondage. Now go with me to Romans 10 and verse 1. Hallelujah. And you have to take some personal responsibility in Christianity. He didn't say it depends on how much your spouse knows, how much your friends know, how much your pastor knows. No, you got to know some things. Romans 10:1 says this, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Well, then apparently, according to the Bible, Israel is not saved. Now, those that have received Jesus through the Bible way, they're born again Jews, but many aren't. You know, I remember there was a kid that, there's a Jewish camp for kids not too far from my house in Sugar Grove, Pennsylvania. And it might have been last summer or summer before, there was a vehicle broken down outside my house, and I went to see if I could lend a hand. Certainly not mechanically. Jake and Jeff are laughing. I'm not sure what's so funny here. Anyways, not mechanically, but I thought, what can I do? You don't have a cell phone. Can I take him anywhere? But it was a young Jewish man, and got to talking with him, and you know, not to be disrespectful, I'm just ignorant to some things. He had the little hat on his head. If that's not what it's called, I apologize. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. What's it called? Monica. A Monica. That's what it's called? Monica? Okay. Anyways, that's what. If Jeff's wrong, then blame him. But and so I knew it was a Jewish person. And so we got to talking and asked him about Jesus. Who do you think Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? And came right out and said, oh, you know, we know he's a prophet and he was a wonderful man. I said, so You don't believe he was the Messiah? You don't believe he's the Savior of the world? No, that person's still to come. Well, that's the majority of how the Jewish people believe. And so Paul's saying, my heart, I want them saved. Why? God's heart is he wants everyone saved. So Paul has God's heart. Why does he want them saved? Because you don't want them to go to hell. And salvation was paid for them. It's a free gift. But he says that they're not. He says in verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Oh, they're excited about him. But ladies and gentlemen, excitement will not trump ignorance. You know what else won't trump ignorance? Your heart and your worship to God. Your goosebumps in your car. Your tears before him. Hallelujah. Your faithfulness to be in the nursery when you're supposed to will not trump ignorance. He's saying they have a zeal for God, but then he said this, but not according to knowledge. So what's he saying? They will be on the outside looking in of salvation. Well, we know that that promise of salvation offers, it's the gateway to all the other blessings. It gets us heaven, it gets us right with God, it gets us forgiven, but it also allows us to enter into the Zoe life, the healing, the prosperity, the joy, the victory, the faith that we have. And so he's saying to them, you have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And then it says in verse 3, for they are ignorant of God's righteousness. There it is, ignorant. They don't know. Well, he said they don't know, and it's because they don't know. They're on the outside looking in. Well, if that continues their whole life, there's going to be death and destruction. Not only naturally, but spiritually. Maybe this isn't popular to say over the World Wide Web, but there's a hell. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Thank God for heaven. Jesus made it simple. He's the bridge. But he's saying, because they didn't know, they're on the outside looking in, and we know that that's not the place to be, because those that are on the outside looking in, death and destruction await them. There's things in the world, as someone that wasn't born again, that I didn't have access to the help that I got once I got saved. The faith, the supernatural power of God. I was in bondage in the world. Well, that's what he's saying to these people. Now, what about us? Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter, because I know I'm talking to the born-again crowd here. Probably most of us watching are from the churches and saved, have received Jesus. But let me show you in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Because we know we don't stop at the cross. We go forth from the cross into the abundant eternal life. Why? We need to live abundant eternal life so we can be the doers, the hands and the feet, the funders, the hands laying on, right? The doers of all the work. And so it says here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Well, that's good. But look where it comes through, the knowledge of our God and of Jesus our Lord. So what's he saying? Lack of knowledge, lack of grace and peace. But then he says in verse 3, according as his divine power. Now notice the wording here. The word in the King James is hath. Newer translation would say has. Well, when someone says they're a has been, that's not talking about future things. It's not referring to their present. They're saying they were a has been, like back in the day they were something, right? They say that about athletes or something. So-and-so's a has-been, talking about back then they were good. That word hath is a past tense word. That means it's already been done. He says, according as divine power has already given unto us, notice this, all things, what things? All things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, what's it talking about godliness? Godliness is the spiritual. Life is the natural. It's only two kingdoms we reside in, the natural world and the spiritual world. He said, I've already given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But here it is, through the knowledge. So he's already given me healing. I'm not experiencing healing. You don't know enough. He's already given me prosperity and all my needs to be met. And this for my children, this for my job, and this for my business, for my family. I'm not experiencing it. You just don't know enough yet. Because he said he already gave them to you, and he's not lying. And he said it comes through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Look at verse 4. Whereby, or are given unto us, exceeding great and precious promises. He said all these promises, what promises? Life and godliness. that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. What's the divine nature? God. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Well, what's he saying? When you partake of the promise of healing on the earth, you're partaking of the exact same thing your Heavenly Father partakes in, healing. When you're walking in peace, you're walking in what Daddy's walking in. When you're walking in prosperity and abundance, you're walking in what Daddy's walking in. But notice he said, and this is what you have to get because people are striving to try to find him and waiting for God to do something. He's already done it. He's already given them to you. Well, how do I acquire them? Through the knowledge. It's all about what you know and don't know. If you're in bondage in your body, you don't know enough. If you're in bondage in your money, you don't know enough. Hallelujah. If you're in bondage in your mind, in your emotions, you just don't know enough. Hallelujah. I remember, I told this story many times, but the one time that I had went to lunch and was going to bless somebody and told them to pick the restaurant, you know. And they picked a place that, unbeknownst to me, that they don't take credit cards. And most of the time I just have credit cards on me. And we went into the restaurant and found out they don't take credit cards. It was cash only. And so I kind of sheepishly said, you know, I talked about blessing you, wanting to bless you. I'll pay you back. But this person always had cash on me. I said, I need you to pay for this. I don't have cash on me. And of course, that was no problem. They paid for them. When I'd gotten in my truck and dropped them off, I put something in my center console, and I noticed there's a $50 bill in there. Well, the lunch wasn't $50. My point was I had the means. It was already provided. It was already there. I had the money to pay for that lunch. But why wasn't I able to walk into or do what I had wanted to do? It's because I didn't know. I didn't know the money was there. And so many people are the same way. They just don't know Zoe's been provided for you, the God kind of life. They just don't know that healing is a part of the covenant. They just don't know that skimping by paycheck to paycheck is not the flow of the Father. They just don't know that what's been told of them and what's coming against them naturally is not what they have to receive. It's time for us to make it a priority of knowing some things. Now again, how do I know? When you're free. Amen. Now, I don't just mean you can be free with symptoms in your body by renewing your mind to the freedom of what's to come, because we are faith people. And we believe before we receive. So you can be free before the money shows up, before the health shows up, before the situation turns and changes, if you're in faith and truly believe, praise God. Say, well, I thought I was in faith, my healing is, I must not know enough. No, not necessarily. When you've crossed over to that fully persuaded, then you know enough. It's not when it shows up that you know enough. It's when you know and are persuaded. And we might mention that a little bit. But I want to show you some different examples in the Bible of different things and some examples here that we'll bring into our day and time and look at some things. But if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. It's not okay to not know. I deal all the time with people. And in the course of the conversation, they're going through something. And the thought will come, don't they know that this is available to them? Or find out, oh my gosh, they don't know how to acquire this. What is it? Ignorance. Yeah. Well, we were all ignorant until we're not ignorant. So if you're in the ignorant category, don't beat yourself up. And there's still things I'm ignorant on, still things you're ignorant on. But we shouldn't be as ignorant as we were yesterday. Amen. Or a week ago or a year ago. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, look what the Bible says here. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass that at the time Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. It got dark, he's going to bed. Eli's the old guy, Samuel's the young guy. And verse 3 says, before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. So God speaks out of heaven to the young man Samuel. Samuel says, Here am I, but we know Samuel's not responding to God because of his actions. Verse 5, he ran unto Eli. Said, here am I, for you called me. And he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. He went and lay down. So he's thinking God's voice is Eli's voice. And Eli's saying, it wasn't me. Verse 6, and the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for you did call me. And he answered, I called you not, son. Go back to bed. Second time now, God's trying to get a hold of him. Now Samuel did, here we go, are you ready? Verse 7, pay attention. Now Samuel did not yet know. God's trying to have a conversation with him. But because of his ignorance, he's kept out of the blessing that God has for him. Do you see that there? For Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for he called me. And now Eli perceived it's not me that it's obviously calling, it's God. That the Lord had called him. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, it shall be if he calls you that you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then, of course, God spoke, and the story goes on. But my point is this, and I'll bring it into our day and age. Here was a situation where a person didn't know how to hear from God. Well, the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. If God's talking, I want to hear. If God's saying some things, I want to know what he's saying. Why? He's perfect. He loves me. He's only got my best interest at heart. Well, here was a place we see where someone was ignorant, didn't know the voice of the Lord. You say, well, how does that apply to me? Well, you know, God might not be speaking in audible voices today. Not saying he's not, but it's not the majority of how he's going to do things. Go with me to Romans 8 and verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. Now, this might blow some people away because I know people think whichever way the wind blows, that's what God's doing. Whichever way the economy's going, that's what God's doing. Whatever's coming in my life, whoever's coming into my life, whoever's leaving my life, that circumstance, situation, that's what God's doing. You're wrong, and if you're living that way, you're living by a lottery. Playing lottery with your life, hoping your numbers come up. Because my Bible says in Romans 8:14, the New Testament, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So what is it telling you? The way that God speaks to his people, the way that God guides and directs his people, is by the leading of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not trying to be funny or mean or sarcastic. I'm just here to tell you, many Christians know nothing about how to be led by the Holy Ghost. They know how to be led by their money. They know how to be led by convenience and comfort. They know how to be led by the weather. They know how to be led by opinions of man. You know how many times people will say things to me? God, this person came into my life and they were really pretty and God sent them my way. Oh, for as many as are led by looks. You know, Pastor, I can't be in church as much now because I took a job that God gave me. What do you mean God gave you a job to take out church? Well, the money's better. Oh, so as many as are led by the money. Well, you know, I got real emotional when I was listening to a worship song, and that's God talking to me. Oh, so as many as are led by emotions and goosebumps and tears. I'm just telling you. What am I saying? God's speaking to his people. God's leading his people. Now, where does he lead? By the still waters, green pastures, paths already prepared, made ready for you that you might live the good life and enjoy it. That's what the Bible says. So if God's leading a person, saying, go this way, make a turn here, do this, do that, but you don't know how to hear from him, guess what you're going out without? The leading of God. You know how dangerous that is? But yet people will hear me say that and sit on the other end of this camera and will go by, ignorant as can be, for some reason, going right over their head or in one ear and out the other, when the pastor's up here telling you, this is how God is leading you. He's not leading you based on what your wallet says. He's not leading you based on what your life says or what a spouse says or what a family member says or what a coworker or what the flavor of the week is. And so many people are ignorant to how to follow the Holy Spirit. Now, in our church, there's no reason to be. I've preached several series on it. In our circles, there's no reason to be ignorant, but there's a lot of people that are ignorant. I've watched people, including my own life, navigate skillfully into things where it looked like naturally that has to be the wrong direction. They went that way and it catapulted them into further. Why? Because the Spirit of God was leading them. Or people that have avoided things that naturally seemed wonderful because the Spirit of God was saying no, and then the pitfall revealed itself later on down the road. Well, what does it come down to? Knowing how to follow God. But I'm here to tell you, if you don't know how to follow God and you're ignorant, then you're not being led by Him because He's not leading any other way. But by His Spirit, which also includes the Word of God. Hallelujah. Samuel had no idea how to hear the voice of God. I'm here to tell you, most Christians have no idea how to hear God's voice. The Holy Spirit, well, how do you, what's that? Is that a feeling? Is that a goosebump? Is that a chill in my body? No, it's none of those things. It's the inward witness. And you got to learn. Well, I don't have time to teach it, but if you're on the outside looking in, you ought to be a clue that says, I can't be ignorant anymore. Why? The ignorant people are destroyed. The ignorant people are in bondage. Hallelujah. I remember one time someone was selling a business. Well, I was surprised they were selling the business. I saw a for sale sign out in front of the business. Went and saw the person, said, I didn't know you were selling. I'd just seen him not too long ago. Said, well, I'm not sure I'm selling either. I decided to put a for sale sign up in front of the business. Just, if it sells, then it was God. If it doesn't sell, then I know it wasn't God. Wait a minute, so as many as are led by the for sale sign? For as many as are led by the real estate market? Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a natural world. Hallelujah. Things happen in the natural that God's not doing anything with. Stop blaming Him for everything. Just basically taking off the responsibility for yourself to ease your mind. That's not how God's leading. Well, if this happens, it's God. If it doesn't, it's God. Or not God. No. Go to 2 Kings 6 and verse 12. 2 Kings 6 and verse 12. Just so everybody knows, there still is a spot opened to be my partner at the picnic. I just want people to know it's not set in stone yet. Just keep that in mind, you know. I'm disappointed at the lack of swooning over me to be my partner. You know, I thought I just would get people, oh, pastor, I listed their apparently nobody wants to be my partner, except, well, a couple people do. A couple people have put their good word in, but I'll tell you, you've broken your pastor's heart, church. I just thought everybody be, pastor, you know, I did this in high school. I've done this. Nothing. So I think it's me, not you. Hallelujah. But 2 Kings chapter 6. In verse 12, it says, and there's, so this is the king, a servant talking to a king, and says, and one of his servants said unto the king, there's no one, my lord, O king, because the king thought, who among us is a mole? Who among us is telling our secrets to this prophet? Because everywhere we go, they're already ready, they're already set up, they're already prepared. So there's not any, none of this, Lord, O king. He said, but Elisha, there's a prophet, verse 13. He tells the king of Israel, the words that you speak in your bedchamber. King of Israel's good king, going to the king of Israel and saying, this bad king is saying this stuff. How is he knowing in his bedchamber? He's not a peeping Tom. God's revealing to him. So then Elisha's taking that information and telling it to the king of Israel so then they can avoid the ambushes, avoid the attacks. And he said, verse 13, he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, behold, saying he's in Dothan. So he's saying, go get this prophet. We're going to take care of him. Verse 14, therefore sent he hither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and they compassed the city about. So here they now, the king has knows where the prophet's staying and sends out his army, what, to take care of this prophet. We're talking about a servant and a prophet here. No match for a king's army. It says, verse 15, and when the servant of the man, so the servant of Elisha, of God had rose up early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. So he looks out of his tent or wherever he's staying and says, oh boy, we are, Houston, we have a problem. We're in trouble. And he said, his servant said, alas, my master, what should we do? Well, that's probably a tone of voice that had fear in it, that would have worry in it. Well, what have we learned around here? Fear and worry are not okay. Anxiousness and stress, they're not okay. Why? They mess so much up. They mess your faith up. They hinder you from receiving. Jesus said, go into peace and behold thy plague. We can't afford fear. Well, why is he afraid? Because of what he sees. Well, what do you mean what he sees? The natural is telling him there's no way out. There's no hope. And so naturally, it's eliciting what? Thoughts and feelings of fear and worry, which we cannot have. Verse 16, Elisha answered and said, don't be afraid. So I guess he was fearful, wasn't he? For they that be with us are more than be with them. And of course, naturally, this servant would say, what are you talking about? It's just me and you. And Elisha prayed and said, verse 17, I pray thee, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. What's he saying? Take him from ignorant to not ignorant. Take him from not knowing to knowing. Do you see that there? And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses, chariots of fire round about, and Elisha. Well, what was it? It was the angels of God's army. God's army was there with the angels. And they took care of that army. A servant and a prophet got out of that. Why? Because of God's help. But the point was the man entered into in a situation that looked insurmountable. He entered into the very thing we can't enter into. Why? He was ignorant. Do you know how many people, I remember one time someone called me, they had some problems with their pension. And they'd sent them a letter, and they were supposed to get like less than half of what they were promised, and they had banked on this, you know, and had all these plans. And the first words out of their mouth was, Pastor Mike, I'm so worried, I'm so afraid, I don't know what to do. I said, well, that's the wrong response, but my thought was, when you respond that way, it's just because you don't know. You see, Elisha didn't respond to the army with, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Why? He knew something. The servant looked and said, what can we do? Just because he didn't know what the prophet knew. Yeah. How can some people in times of financial crisis never break a smile, never break joy, get excited? I remember Jake sitting behind the camera back there. We were in California for Pastor Nancy meeting, and I had the wonderful privilege to tell Jake he was getting fired when we got back. And Jake's laughing, so he don't mind me telling this story. It's a great story on him, you know. And he wasn't getting fired from this place. They were getting, they were kind of having a problem with a lot of the Christians that worked there, kind of getting phased out. I won't mention the place, but anyways. This was way before Jake had moved and started working with Walkers, and things started to change for his life and stuff. And well, things had started to change, but before he made that move and everything. And so I'm not talking about the Walkers fired him. That's not what I'm talking about here. This is before then. And so we're in California, and I had to deliver the news. One of the people that had been pushed out had come to me and said, when he gets back, he's getting fired. I thought, well, I need to let him know, you know. Well, Jake had no answer for money, no answer for increase, no answer for how his bills were going to get paid. And I sat there at Chili's. I'm a big fan of Chili's. What, the Chili's, you know, their baby, I love my baby, back baby, back baby, back baby. I like those ribs. And so we're at Chili's. I said, Jake, got to tell you, brother, when you go back, you have no income. You have no job. And you know what was wonderful is Jake's the same one I told years ago, just do whatever your pastor says with the word. Just dive in. He was just stupid enough to do the word. You don't believe the word. So when I told Jake he had no income, no finances, you know what our response was? We laughed so hard we cried. My belly hurt so bad we just started laughing. I was pounding the table and pointing at him, "You're fired, you have no job." We were laughing because, you see, that's not being compassionate. No, when you know some things, that's your response. The waitress came over, we could hardly talk, and I said, she goes, "Are you going to have dessert?" I said, "Yes, we're having dessert. We're celebrating." She said, "Oh, wow, what's the occasion?" I said, "He's getting fired." And she looked at us like, "What in the world is wrong?" But why not respond with fear? Because my needs and Jake's needs are not met according to a paycheck. They're met according to his riches and glory. And so when your paycheck changes, so what? The source didn't. Hallelujah. How many people will absolutely have a freak out when they get a doctor's report or get a financial report, right? Or symptoms in their body? You just must not know enough. Because the prophet looked at an impossible situation and said, I know some things. And the servant didn't know some things, looked at the same exact situation, was in the same exact position, said, "Oh my gosh, what are we going to do?" That is the picture of the Christians. One full of faith, one full of worry and fear. Why? They just don't know. Praise God. Hallelujah. What about people that don't know? I'm just going to just say some things here and getting ready to close here and going to the end of this message here. What about people that are sitting around waiting for this God to pour out money and increase them and have no idea it's dependent upon your giving?
Yeah, that's right.
That the windows of heaven opening up are depending upon you tithing. Having an increase and overflow is dependent upon you giving. What about the churches that don't teach that? What about the churches that are afraid to talk to you about tithing and giving? I'm in abundance today because of the tithing and the giving message. I just learned it and did it and it worked. But so many Christians are sitting around paycheck to paycheck. Why isn't God? Why isn't God? Why isn't God? And God said, "Why aren't you? Why aren't you? Why aren't you?" Come on. What about in 1 John 5 and verse 4? It says that the way that we overcome the world is by faith. Well, I don't know about you, but I had to learn faith. I didn't come out of the womb a faith-filled man. I had to learn faith. Just like so many of you have learned faith, applied faith, and watched things change. You have. We have countless testimonies. But what happens if you don't know that? Or what happens if you don't know that there's a force called faith and things come at you and think, "This is what I have to deal with"? No. Your faith can turn it, but you have to know it. You know, 1 Thessalonians 4, we don't have to turn there, but 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13 talks about how we don't grieve like the world grieves, talking about death. And the Bible says, as somebody that has no hope would grieve. Well, I've been able to minister to people and tell them the realities of what their loved one is experiencing, what their loved one's going through, how you're going to be with them, and it's brought, taken the hopelessness away and brought joy and peace into their life. And then there's other people that that don't know and struggle when a loved one who's born again or heaven bound goes home to be with Jesus, and they can never get past it, and they're grieving like the world grieves. We ought not to grieve like the world grieves, because we do have hope. Hallelujah. This is just a little detour in the grand scheme of our eternity. But why? Some people just don't know. Well, here's another good one. It seems to chase people out of our church all the time. I mentioned the word tongues, and people that are unfamiliar, ignorant, run for the hills. And I'll even say, when I bring it up, the writer of the Bible that you read said he prays in tongues all the time. Jesus said, "You'll pray in tongues." And people that are ignorant, many of them don't ever come back and say, "You know what? Tell me more about this tongues." It's very few people that do. Well, those of us that are tongue talkers and filled with the Holy Ghost, we know the benefits. We ain't going back. Praise God. What was I doing all the way here? Shalababbing in my truck. What's that mean? I was praying in tongues. What was I doing this morning when I woke up? Praying in tongues. What was I doing in the shower? Praying in tongues. What was I doing as I was walking my dog this morning? Praying in tongues. Why? Because the Bible says that the way I edify myself is by praying in tongues. Well, if you don't know that, then you're not edifying yourself. The way I pray out mysteries is how? Praying in tongues. Well, if I don't know that, I'm on the outside looking in. And it causes bondage and destruction. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is going to be a two-parter. And next week we're going to go in because I'm going to share one more thing. But next week I'm going to delve in deeper about what does knowing look like. You can know of somebody and you can know somebody and it's completely different. And to tell you the main difference right off the bat, when you know someone, you're acquainted or acquainted with them. When you know of somebody, you're not acquainted with them. And many people know of healing, know of prosperity, know of the joy, know of faith, know of tongues, but they're not acquainted with it. Amen. So next week we'll be back together getting showered with my spit, you know, and in person. Hallelujah. In closing, I want to say this to you. We have the job to acquire this knowledge. We have the job to put ourselves in the position from ignorant to knowing. It's our job. It's not going to happen automatically. It's our job. You know, without taking time to turn there. Remember in Mark chapter 6 where the Bible says Jesus was in his hometown, couldn't do very much except heal a few people? He said he marveled at their unbelief. But then it went on to say that his solution to it was the Bible says he went about the cities teaching and preaching. What did he do? He said, okay, they don't know enough yet because the way they're acting, they don't know enough. He says, now to fix what they don't know is I'm going to go and give the acquisition of knowledge. They need more knowledge. Remember in John chapter 21, where Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, he asked him, do you love me? Three times Jesus asked him, do you love me? And what did Peter say every time? He said, you know I do, Lord, to some manner he said it that way. And every single time Jesus said, if you love me, the way you can prove that you love me is by feeding my sheep. Well, remember in Matthew 9, where the Bible says Jesus went about cities and villages preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing. Before it said that he healed people, it said he taught and preached to them. But then he said the people that he healed, he had compassion on them. He said they were scattered and faint. Why? He said because they were sheep without a shepherd. Well, remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, feed the lambs. Feed the lambs. Well, what's he talking feeding them with? The knowledge of the word of God, the spiritual man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What he's saying is that the shepherd's job is to infuse people with the knowledge to why? To then live victoriously. I don't know why we sometimes treat, you know, Jesus all the time likened natural things to spiritual things. I don't know why sometimes we treat the church as some separate entity that you can't get anything natural out of it. But think about this for a second. When most people that are anything in life, you know, a doctor, a nurse, musician, myself, didn't arrive at that place on their own. I was just dealing with a guy that he's like a magician with big machinery. I actually call him a dirt magician. The things he can do with an excavator, the things he can do with a bulldozer and move this equipment around and maneuver and groom a piece of land and small, it's amazing. And I was talking to him about it and tracing it all the way back. It didn't start with him knowing how to run a bulldozer by himself. It didn't start with him knowing how to run heavy machinery by himself. No, somebody taught him. Somebody that knew more than him infused the knowledge to him for him to now do it. Doctors what? Sit under people that know more than them. Now, there's savants and different things. Don't misunderstand me. And we've seen things in the body of Christ where people maybe didn't have a teacher and the Holy Ghost taught them, or, you know, Paul was that way, he's taught directly from Jesus. But that's not the norm. Most musicians do most musicians what? Learn from somebody. Hallelujah. It's truth. And here we think, as Christians, that we can just know everything we need to know without going through the same channels. When somebody decides to become a nurse, they don't say, well, I'm going to go apply for my job. No, no, no. You need to sit under a nurse first. You need to sit under training and teaching first. Well, I'm just going to go be a doctor. No, no, not before you're sitting under people that know more than you and get in. Well, I'm just going to go and live in victory and all the promises of God. That's not how God set it up. God said, I'm out healing people, but they need a shepherd to what? Infuse the knowledge to them. What am I trying to bang the drum on? We can't treat our learning sessions casually. No, no, let me say it again. Because many people treat this appointment with God, I don't mean just today, I mean Sunday mornings, Wednesday night, when the guest ministers come in, treat it as if it's optional in your life. One word that you didn't know and now you know can change the course of your whole life. Let me give you an example about the dangers of treating this naturally, and I'll close with this. Go with me to Isaiah 61:3, and we'll close here. Why is it school is vital? Why is it that our jobs are vital? Why is it that our recreation is vital? But the church, if we can fit our appointment in, comes down to this: an ignorance of the revelation of what happens here. You have no ignorance of how much you need that paycheck. You have no ignorance of how much your kids need to be faithful into school and how much you paid for a concert ticket or a football ticket or whatever, and I want to be there on time. But there's so much ignorance as to what's being doled out. And I'm telling you, as a pastor, I deal with ignorant people all the time. They just don't know enough. Oh, but it was taught on that. Oh, but they weren't there. Oh, but there was a series on it. Yeah, but they weren't there. They don't know. They just don't know. Isaiah 61:3 says this: to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That verse is telling us that that spirit of heaviness, that depression, that oppression, there's a solution to it. It's called praise. Praise is a supernatural tool God has given us to drive back those things. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, I wish I'd have known that growing up. Because I dealt with tormenting, suicidal thoughts all the time. Had no idea. Tried to fix it through alcohol. Tried to fix it through drugs. Tried to fix it through gambling. Tried to fix it through all natural means. Tried to fix it through medication. Nothing took it away. I had no idea. And I wouldn't be standing before you today had God not intervened in that Chevy Cavalier when I was a 16-year-old boy down on the oil and gas well road with that gun in my mouth. I wouldn't be here today if God didn't intervene. I didn't know how to combat those things coming against me. They were overwhelming to me. Well, this was back over in the old sanctuary where we do our fellowship now. This was years ago. I had preached and I had gone a little bit longer that day than I normally do. And so I was kind of feeling that pressure, you know. I had gone further, and I know people getting hungry. It's lunchtime, and it's not what we're used to. And there is, you know, we get hungry and say, oh, I'll just keep preaching. But there is something to not preaching the everlasting gospel in one sitting, you know. People's bodies and minds start checking out, and that's certainly not what I want. But during the salvation call, Isaiah 61:3 dropped in my spirit. And I knew that I was supposed to read that verse, but tell people, and I didn't know why, that I wish I would have had this verse back when I was a kid. I wish, and I didn't know why, but as I'm sitting there fighting it in my head, going back and forth, should I do this or not? It's getting late. I have that overwhelming sense, don't disobey God, don't disobey God. So I said, I'm sorry, you can leave if you want to. I know it's getting late, but this dropped in my heart. I know I got to mention it a little bit. Nobody left. And I brought up Isaiah 61:3. I said, the garment of praise is for the spirit of heaviness. I said, I wish I would have known this when I was younger. It would have saved me from a whole lot of torment. And I preached it and just mentioned it, you know, and said, this is what that's for, you know, that's an answer for you. Well, I didn't think anything of it, and after service, dismissed, and people are fellowshipping, and off in the corner there's, excuse me, a group of women around a middle-aged lady, and she's weeping. She's got tears in her eyes, and they said, Pastor, would you come over and talk with her? Well, they all left, and it was just me and this woman. And I said, what's going on? And she said, Pastor Mike, now, this is the danger of not knowing. She said, Pastor Mike, she said, I made up my mind during service today that when service was over, I was going to go home and hang myself. My God, I hope that's not the feelings I give people when I'm preaching. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm saying that sarcastically, you know, but I only say that, you know, with some sarcastic tone because of how this turned out. Very serious topic, one that I'm well acquainted with. She said, I had made up my mind that I was going to go hang myself. And then service ended, and I knew I was minutes away from going over to my place and following through with that. She said, but, she said, for the first time, and I don't remember how many years she said, I finally have an answer that I know will work. I've been to therapy, been to this self-help thing, this medicine take. I can't get this oppression and depression. She's like, now you told me how to get by it. Now I know how to skillfully, you know, lack of better words. Well, what happened was God ministered to her through her pastor. Here she came in not knowing how to deal with it. Would have ended up how I almost ended up had not what? Been infused with a knowledge. It's the same thing when people are dealing with incurable sicknesses and they hear the healing message, hope arises. Or finances or things with their kids or anything they're facing. You can't get that at a concert. Can't get that at your job. Well, what happened? She put that to play, and it saved her life. Still alive today. Hallelujah. Made up her mind. I know what it's like to make up my mind that it's it. I was there. Had the hammer cocked, you know. God saved me. I know what it's like. And so here she was, same thing. But what changed? Knowledge. Knowledge changed. You don't know what could be said or what you don't know or what hasn't clicked with you that by being where you're supposed to be, because, oh yeah, let me tell you this, you're supposed to be here. Yes. Amen. When the doors are open. That's right. So, oh, I don't, no, just say you're supposed to be at your job, you're supposed to be here. Yeah. You're supposed to be under a shepherd. You're supposed to be under the teaching of the word. By who? Somebody that knows more than you. Somebody that's got an anointing to infuse into you what you need. Why? So you can walk into all these things that God has for you. Praise God. Well, I'm stirred up. There's things I'm ignorant of. There's things I don't have a great enough revelation on yet that I want. I'm not going to stay in the ignorant category. Why? The ignorant category is the destruction category. It's the bondage category. So the first thing y'all need to do out there is make up your mind. Church attendance is not optional. I deal with it, you know. You'll run into people after time that maybe haven't been here for months or even years. And it's funny, you know, many of those people that just kind of wandering in life, they're not happy. They're not full of joy. Why? They're chasing the wrong things in the wrong way. Plant your rear end in a Bible-teaching church, and the Bible says flourishing, Psalm 92:13, will be your result. So the first thing we need to do is not be casual towards this. Because you can't get this knowledge by yourself. Just like a nurse can't get it by herself, a doctor can't get it, the musician, the heavy machine operator didn't get it by himself. Stop thinking you can. I can't, you can't either. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's worship Him. Father, we thank You. We worship You and glorify You. Thank You for Your mercy, for Your goodness, for our help this morning. The dangers of not knowing, part one. Hallelujah. We're not going to be in the ignorant category. I don't want to be destroyed. I don't want to be in bondage. I want to live free and walk into everything you have for me, not only for me and my family, but Father, I endeavor to be a blessing to the body of Christ. I endeavor to be a blessing to humanity, those that are on the outside looking in, Father. It's our job to be the light of the world. Well, we can't be that way in bondage. We can't be that way in destruction. So, Father, we thank you for this word in season. Lord, there's things we need to know. There's things we need to come up higher in our knowing. So we thank you that through these messages, Father, we will. We thank you for attitude adjustments, priority shifts and changes, Father. Hallelujah. If we're in bondage, we just don't know enough. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we love you. Now, Father, we're just so thankful for salvation. Now, Paul told us that salvation is something that you want, Father, for us, but we can't be ignorant of how you do it. There's many people out there, Father, very ignorant of how to be accepted by you, how to receive you, how to become your child, how to get into heaven. And I don't want to go into all the different beliefs because there's so many different thoughts. I'll just cut right to the chase and right to the truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father unless they come by me. Jesus said in John 3:16, if you believe on me, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9 says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. The truth of the matter is to get out of darkness into light. It has nothing to do with church attendance, good deeds outweighing bad deeds, being a good person, a moral person, being charitable. No. It's what you do with Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus died on the cross for your sins and he's knocking at the door of your heart. Why does he knock? Because he wants you to give him entrance. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force this upon you. He wants you to open the door. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're watching this, listening to this right now or in the future via the archive, and you'd say, I don't know that I'm a Christian. Maybe my standards are how I thought isn't what the Bible said. Well, let's throw away what we think and throw away our standards. Let's pick up what the Bible says. So I don't know if I've ever received Jesus. Well, let's be sure this morning. So if you're watching and say, I don't know Jesus, I'm not sure. Let's get out of the unsure into the sure. The only qualification you need to have first and foremost is you believe in him. Doesn't mean you have to know everything about him, but you believe in him. The next qualification is to invite him in. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're watching this, you say, I need to receive Jesus. You just go ahead and repeat this prayer after me. I'm asking the whole church, even though I can't see it, join with me, join your faith for people's salvation. And if that person, those people that say, you know, I don't know that I've ever been saved. I didn't know how to do it. Well, we've told you now. Just go ahead and lift your voice and say this after me and mean it with all your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross for me. And I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can open your eyes there. I'm thrilled for you, you know. And, you know, a baby needs help when they are born. You know, they can't do it on their own. Well, when you get born again or accept Jesus, you become a spiritual baby. And you don't want to be left alone. It's like you wouldn't leave a baby alone. There's so many things that God wants to help you with that I would be just so overjoyed to help you with. The number should be on the website. You can email. You can give me a phone call. Let me know that you prayed that, and I'll get you started in your best life ever. I'll tell you, you won't regret it. Praise God. And so, Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Father, I know the devil thinks he's won, but we've already won. That's what he doesn't know is we already won. We already have the victory. And we win. And we're going forward. And we're charging forward into more in Jesus' name. This region, this area needs a move of heaven. Needs miracles, signs, and wonders. So we thank you. Nothing's been lost. Nothing has been held back. No. We spring forward into all that you have for us. Father, I love you. I pray a special blessing over all the people of both of these churches. Father, I thank you. You're working in their lives, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget that we will be back in person next Saturday night in Allegheny at 6 o'clock. next Sunday morning in South Dayton. No midweek service this week. I look forward to seeing you. And again, the picnic is September 12th. Get the word out, mark it down. We're inviting Allegheny to be with us, just one family in two locations. That's going to be a 9 o'clock service that morning. And so I love you, appreciate you, miss you. Can't wait to be back in church with you. Have a blessed rest of your week. You are dismissed. Hallelujah. God will not say so, say so, say so.